next case this morning.
Good morning, judges. May it please the court, my name is Neil Connors. I represent the appellant, Dan Wine, Duane Renard. Visiting the issue of whether district court judge should have made or issued specific findings on the amount of the intended loss in this case, which was approximately $77,000, which amount carried the amount of loss in question slightly over the $200,000 threshold amount, resulting in a 12-level increase to this defendant's offense level. In the record is a motion prior to sentencing which defense counsel asked the court for an extension of time in which to file objections and to specifically discover the contents of the defendant's spouse's pre-sentence investigation report pertaining to matters such as relevant conduct and the amount of loss concerned in this case. Prior to the sentencing as well, the defendant filed his own pro se motion, while still represented by counsel, asking the court not to include the additional amount of intended loss in the total loss amount which was attributable to him. Well, please keep in mind, judges, that this conduct occurred, this aggravated identity theft, to which the defendant was aided and abetted, the principal, his spouse, was committed while he was confined in the Missouri Department of Corrections. All this conduct, mail fraud, bank fraud, wire fraud, and aggravated identity theft occurred while he was confined and in detention in the state of Missouri. The question arises whether, and there seems to be some authority from this court and others, that the district court judge must make some specific findings on the amount of loss calculation in question here.
But there was never any objection to the inclusion of the intended loss, right? And so the district court was never asked to make factual findings.
That's correct, Judge.
So we have a problem here with your argument.
Judge Williams, the...
You've got waiver, right?
Well, waiver would require some type of strategic or intentional waiver of the issue at hand here. I would submit to the court that there was no strategic reason not to raise the issue. In fact, the question of the loss was argued in sentencing to the judge. And granted, it was not doesn't rise to the level of an objection. But as I began to point to, there seems to be some independent authority, whether there was an objection or not, that the district court make some findings, including because of the... And I would point out that in the record, the district court judge started the sentencing proceeding by alluding to the fact that there is a difference between actual versus intended loss. The government, in their argument as well, identifies specifically the amount of actual loss in this case. Really, just the defendant himself prior to the sentencing, perhaps his counsel by way of arguing to the judge, although admittedly more in a 3553 vein of pointing out to the judge that this amount of intended loss was an important distinction, it exceeded the $200,000 threshold level by $344.50.
So your position is the district court should just make findings even though there's no dispute that's raised. So go through everything in the pre-sentence report and make a finding when it's not even contested.
My position would be that on this particular case, Your Honor, because of the fact that the debt had such a dramatic consequence to the defendant, namely a 12-level increase in his sentence, that perhaps more could have been done to clarify the record on this point, and so that there could be no question about the fact that the intended loss, which amounted to approximately $77,000 in unpresented checks, which were seized from the defendant spouse post office box in Belleville, Illinois. These were non-presented checks against the Bank of Edwardsville, and these were the only party, in fact, in this entire proceeding that identified the amount of the intended loss was the probation office when they cited that this would be subject to a 12-level increase.
So the rule you would like us to adopt is if there's a 12-level increase, then there should be finding. What if, like, there was a 6-level increase? Should the court on its own make findings? Because that's significant to a person, or even a 2-point increase can be pretty significant.
I think you'd have to look case by case, Your Honor, in this case, just as much as you have to look case by case as far as whether there's a waiver or forfeiture in this case. There is some, the Jones case cited by the government in its brief talks about looking at specific cases and that there must be a specific grounds for finding that there would be forfeiture or waiver. And I would ask the court to do the same in this case.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning, Your Honor. Suzanne Garrison representing the United States. I have to admit, Your Honors, I was a little confused to receive the brief in this case that complains about inclusion of intended loss amounts in the loss calculation when there were no objections made to the pre-sentence report. And I think, you know, Judge Williams, you made a very valid point. I mean, why would the district court kind of cull through the record, kind of just refuting points not articulated by the defendant at sentencing? I would point out as well, at sentencing, there was no complaint made by the defense at all about the denial of the request for an extension for the purpose of filing objections to the pre-sentence report, nor is that raised in the opening brief. The first complaint made about the denial of that extension request was made today. And the government would rest on the brief, would ask that the sentence be affirmed, unless there are any questions that the court has about the record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Subject to any additional questions, the appellant would also rest on its brief.
Again, you were appointed to represent your defendant in this case. Thanks again for your fine representation of your client. The case will be taken under advisement.